Welcome to Brother Sister Lister. I'm Brother.
And I'm Sister.
And this week, we are talking about
our top five favorite movie title sequences.
This is a list that I'm really excited to do.
Me too. I had a lot of fun figuring out this list.
Yeah, this one took a little bit of extra research, and there will be obviously some visuals involved here, and so we'll have links to view all of the movie title sequences that we're talking about on brothersisterlister.com.
Yeah.
So you can follow that link in your show notes, and you can find links to view all of our top five movie title sequences so that you get a good feel for what we're talking about.
Yeah, researching this list got me lost in YouTube for a good 2 hours.
Yeah, so. In a really fun way, I think.
Yeah, it was great. Do you want
to
start?
I would love to start.
Okay.
My number five is Zombieland.
I did look at this one. It is so good.
It's a really cool movie title sequence, and I'm drawn to a certain style of movie title sequences, and so I didn't want my list to feel too boring. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to kind of stretch out to some different styles. And the Zombieland is kind of out of the box of some of the other ones that I like.
Yeah.
But it's so fun to watch. And it's funny because I'm not really into your traditional zombie things mm-hmm. usually. But the Zombieland title sequence is all these slow motion zombie attacks.
Yeah.
But done in a way that still feels really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of the, I guess the juxtaposition of Zombieland is this kind of harsh, grotesque
right.
zombie stuff but with the comedy. It's really good. Metallica plays over the top of the whole title sequence, mm-hmm. and you see these slow motion zombie attacks, which are graphic and funny at the same time. Ruben Fleischer was the director of Zombieland, and I guess he had kind of a specific feel for the visuals and the slow-mo kind of stuff
yeah.
that he wanted to capture there.
That one was on a lot of lists that I saw that yeah. other people had made, so.
Yeah, I think rightly so.
Yeah,
it's really good. It's definitely good and kind of unique.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my number five.
That's a great one. My number five is 101 Dalmatians,
which we've talked about before
because Cruella DeVille was on my villains list.
Right.
But it came out in 1961, and this is one where it's got kind of the jazzy music going, and it's obviously illustrations,
mm-hmm.
but it starts out with like the whole screen is covered in like drawings or almost sketch-looking drawings of Dalmatians, and then as it kind of dives in, it turns into like the Dalmatian spots kind of bouncing around the screen and turning into the lettering and everything.
Mm.
I just think it's done really well, and I think it's really cool looking, and I love the way they have the music and sometimes the spots and stuff too responding to the music that's happening there. So if like a trumpet plays a little bit louder at that point, the spot will like grow and shake. So it's like all working together really well, which I think is cool.
That is cool.
But I honestly just like watching. I watched it twice when I was yeah. when I was doing this list just to make sure that I loved it, and I do. So
yeah. My number four?
Yeah, your number four.
My number four is Goldfinger.
I also watched this one. It's not on my list, but
I think that James Bond 007 title sequences are really iconic. And this is probably my personal favorite is Goldfinger.
This is the one where he did like a projector over their face and stuff, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have this woman kind of in a bikini,
yeah.
all painted gold, and they're projecting scenes of the movie on her kind of different body parts in different
positions. Yeah, it's really cool.
It's really cool looking. It feels very James Bond,
mm-hmm.
especially James Bond of this era. This is 1964. It's Sean Connery, James Bond. It's the best.
Yeah.
It to me, it feels really, really iconic. It feels very kind of sexy in a very James Bond sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
The visuals that are being projected are just portions of the movie for the
right.
most part, but the way they do it and the music that plays over it, it just feels very iconic.
I think. It's really cool. That's a really good one.
So that's my number four.
My number four might be on your list, and it's Robin Hood.
This is not on my
list.
Oh,
okay.
But that is a good one.
I know. I didn't mean to have two Disney ones in a row, but
and,
can't help it.
Robin Hood, the animated Fox Disney movie.
Yes, the animated movie. 1973. And this one is a rooster playing a little guitar and singing a song through the kind of explanation of who Robin Hood is, basically. And he's like walking through a book, which as I was going through this, I realized was a very popular thing with Disney back in the day. Cinderella does that. Jungle Book does that.
Which so many of their movies at that point were based off of, you know, famous books. So it makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Winnie the Pooh, like a lot of them that I was kind of going through, I realized Alice in Wonderland, like a lot of the movie sequences from back then with Disney movies are like the characters going through the books, basically, which is kind of cool, I think. Just kind of bringing it back to the root a little bit. But in this case, Robin Hood, just like the song is the first thing I think of when I think of Robin Hood, which is one of my favorite movies from Disney. And he does this kind of like toothy whistle through it that our dad can do really well.
Yeah, he has the perfect whistle to fake that.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just kind of him setting up the story, basically. And then after the title sequence, it moves on to, you know, what the song was kind of leading up to. But I just really like it. I feel like it sets off the movie so well. And then you see this rooster through the rest of the film, which is kind of a fun thing they did.
So. Yeah. I think that's something that makes movie title sequences really interesting to me. Because a lot of times they're not necessarily done by the director of the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they'll bring in a design team or a videographer, whoever, an artist to make the title sequence, but their job really is to set up the story and to capture the tone of the film. And
it's kind of a huge part of it when you
it's a really, really important aspect of the movie. And you can tell with certain movies, they don't put a ton of effort into it.
Yeah.
But I think when it's done well, it can be such an important part of the movie.
Yeah. And I think I noticed too, researching this list, is just that this has become like a huge thing that people notice very much so. Yeah. I mean, there was lots of things online about it. So I do think it's definitely its own art in itself to make these movie title sequences something memorable. So
absolutely. My number three?
Yes.
My number three is Catch Me If You Can.
I watched this one since I promised I'd watch the movie and haven't. And it is very cool.
It's a really cool movie title sequence. And it does do this amazing job of setting up the whole story of the film. Mm-hmm. It's almost better the second time you watch the movie because you see all of these little specific nods to certain portions of the movie.
Right.
And these kind of characters that he becomes throughout the film. It's also done in this very classic style, which I like a lot. One thing that I saw researching through a lot of different movie title sequences is that there's an artist and title sequence designer named Saul Bass, and his work is very iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of feels in keeping with a style that he sort of pioneered, I think. But it was done by a design team called Kunzel and Degas, and they sort of did it in that, like, very kind of iconic classic style.
Yeah.
But they actually made that title sequence with hand-carved stamps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So they, of course, took those images and then put them into a computer to kind of put it all together and create the feel that it has with that sort of smooth flow and everything. But the actual characters that you see moving around, those kind of silhouetted simple designs, those are all done with hand carved stamps.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Yeah.
So I saw an interview online with them, and maybe I'll put that in the show notes, that talks about their process on how they made this, but I really like the style of this. It feels very fitting for the tone of the movie, again, kind of the era that the movie's set in, and this sort of, you know, caper feel and everything.
It's so cool they put that much effort into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely noticed too, just, I don't know, just how much goes into doing a movie title sequence. Also, how much I never noticed them before.
Yeah.
Up until now, where I was like sitting there really focusing on just that part of the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas before it would be playing and I'd be like, oh, I better go like fill my drink or whatever while this is going on.
No, this is something I've always really been into.
Yeah. Ever since, I mean, now I'm sure from here on out, I'll definitely notice it. So, my number three.
Your number three?
Number three is a little bit different than the rest of my list, and it is Wayne's World.
Okay.
I cannot picture
the movie title sequence.
Because it's not like these other ones where it's more of like its own separate clip that then goes into the movie. This is them recording an episode, and it's the totally amazing, excellent discoveries where this guy comes in with a handheld vacuum and sucks Garth's hair up into it.
Right.
And it's basically just setting up to show you how absurd their show is, and I just think it does a really good job of that, basically.
Yeah, just
they do
puts
the
you
extreme close-ups and are like screaming into the camera and stuff.
Well, it's funny too because Wayne's World is based on a Saturday Night Live skit. It's like they sort of use that section, that title sequence time in the movie, to familiarize you with right. what has already taken place exactly. in the backstory of the skits.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's really interesting.
Whereas I saw the movie before I had ever seen an SNL skit of Wayne's World.
Sure.
So then going back and being like, oh yeah, like this is exactly like the beginning of the movie, which yeah, is why I kind of so think funny. It's so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it came out in 1992, and I love Wayne's World.
Oh yeah. So Wayne's World is so good.
It's so funny. But yeah, I mean, just how ridiculous the very first scene, the movie title sequence is in Wayne's World just caught my eye. So
yeah, I like that. Yeah. That was a good choice.
Thank you.
Totally off my radar.
So your number two?
My number two is The Royal Tenenbaums.
I figured this would be on your list. This is like you meet all the characters almost, right?
Yeah, well, so there's a scene beforehand, and they sort of introduce you to the idea of the family, the Tenenbaums, mm-hmm. and you're meeting all of the Tenenbaum children as kids. Mm-hmm. And then there's sort of a cut in between there, and you get the title sequence. And it's these very intentional shots of each character in the film centered up in the screen very perfectly. And you get this picture of who each character is. And it's in a time when they're kind of either getting ready in front of the mirror or, you know, sort of primping in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really interesting because it's very iconic actors. You know, everyone in The Royal Tenenbaums is a pretty notable actor.
Right.
And so it's cool that they set it up this way where they show you the actor dressing themselves for the character, mm-hmm. kind of, and tell you the name of the actor and the character that they play. And it's, I think, an interesting way to introduce you to this is this famous actor, but as this person.
Right.
And the set design is really meticulous. So everything behind them in the shot kind of sets up who their character is
yeah.
and what their character's backstory kind of is.
It
and
is
things
shot
like
really
that.
Cool.
It is. I think it's a really iconic title mm-hmm. sequence, and it's really succinct. It yeah. just goes through each one. I think it's about a minute long.
Yeah.
It's very iconic for mm-hmm. Wes Anderson especially, but I think in general it's something that you've seen kind of other people maybe
right.
copy since.
Yeah.
Anyway, so The Royal Tenenbaums, though.
That is a really, really cool opening scene, for
yeah,
sure.
I think it's a great title sequence and just kind of, yeah, introducing those characters.
Yeah.
And there's The Royal Tenenbaums in general, the way they have this kind of book motif mm-hmm. that opens up the movie, that's repeated throughout as they kind of introduce new sections
yeah.
in the movie, but like as though they are chapters in this book. That's a really interesting detail
yeah.
that they do visually also.
There's
but,
something
yeah.
about like the colors seeming really vivid to me through that too.
Well, it has like a very specific color palette.
Yeah.
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 And the typeface is very what people think of when they think of Wes Anderson.
Right.
And I think it's Futura when they're introducing the characters.
Yeah.
But yeah, that look is very
memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. So my number two.
Your number two.
Is Back to the Future.
Nice.
The first one.
Yeah, no, this is a good one.
Coming around my list again.
Yeah.
This was on my soundtrack list also. And 80s movies. I think this has been on two of my lists. Three now.
That's okay.
It's one of my favorite movies. So 1985, and the movie title sequence is kind of introducing you to Doc Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going through like his kind of workshop area, and it's kind of scanning through the walls and showing you. I mean, the big part of it is that he's got like 1,000 clocks going.
Right.
But then also it's going through like framed pictures of newspapers and stuff, like articles from newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of his like gadgets, like he's got a little invention that feeds his dog on an automatic timer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then Marty McFly comes in, but you only see him from like the knees down
right.
at first, and is kind of like walking through all of it also. So it's just set up really cool.
Yeah.
It's
cool how they set up the character of Doc
yeah.
without showing you him.
Yeah,
all?
I mean, you can already tell just from this quick 1 minute long thing that he's kind of scattered and a little bit loony,
yeah.
but obviously really smart. And then, yeah, I mean, like, you know, Marty ends up talking to Doc on the phone and realizing all the clocks are the wrong time and he's late for school, which then sends him off into, like, skateboarding to school.
Yeah.
And the movie title sequence kind of goes on into that as well.
Which, it's so funny. I mean, this is just about the movie in general, but it's so funny that they introduce you with the idea of, oh yeah, Marty and Doc are friends, but give you no reason why.
Yeah, how did they meet and
right,
become friends?
It makes no sense. Why is this like 70-year-old
like, scientist?
Scientist, inventor guy, friends with a high school kid. Yeah. It does not make any sense.
It's so true. But that's one thing the movie title sequence does not explain.
Does not explain, no.
But I just think it's so cool, and I always remember it right away when I think of that movie. So
that's a good one. I like that.
It gets the job done, yeah. So your number one.
My number one is Napoleon Dynamite.
My number one is Napoleon Dynamite. We just high-fived.
The Napoleon Dynamite title sequence is
perfect.
Awesome.
I love it.
When we decided to do this list, I think it might have been the first one that came to mind. It's just so enjoyable to watch.
It is, yeah.
It perfectly sets up the movie. It gives you the idea of this world that Napoleon lives in. With the kind of, you know, brown shag carpet and mm-hmm. linoleum and these different floorings that you see as the backdrop
for
everything.
And then going through, like, the lunch tray of school.
Yeah, the different food items with the characters and people involved in the film. Their names written out on the food items in condiments or whatever.
Yeah.
That part is so good.
It's so good.
These little prop details mm-hmm. that they've created with the different characters' names or actors' names. It's just so good.
His school ID is one of them that has, like, information on it. It's done perfectly.
It's so great. And I actually, so this movie came out in 2004, and of course it was a huge movie, but, you know, basically unknowns mm-hmm. for the most part involved in the movie at the time. And it's the movie was done by Jared and Jerusha Hess, and they went on to do Nacho Libre and Gentleman
Bronco.
Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And
both are great.
They have a very specific aesthetic.
Yeah.
And this is kind of your immediate introduction to that. And I guess the title sequence was actually designed by the actor who plays Kip in the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and he's friends with Jared Hess, who directed mm-hmm. Napoleon Dynamite. But they kind of started to feel out this idea together, and I guess he just ran with it.
Yeah.
But it's cool that, he was the person who actually
that
kind of
really
designed
neat.
The
you
title sequence.
You definitely see that reflect in the Nacho Libre title sequence, too.
Yeah, in a different way. They kind of have a, they definitely
similar
have
style.
A similar feel.
Yeah,
for sure. And, of course, We're Going to Be Friends plays over the top of it,
mm-hmm.
The White Stripes. It also feels perfect
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah.
I heard that this was one of the first times that the White Stripes licensed one of their songs for a movie.
Cool.
And apparently they had previously been kind of reluctant to do that. But this one just felt right. And they were okay with it being involved in
the story. I
read, too,
that they had such a small budget for this movie. Like a $400,000 budget. And just were shocked at how well it did.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and I think in the DVD of Napoleon Dynamite, they have the original kind of short film version of it,
mm-hmm.
which stays pretty true to what the movie ends up being. But, you know, after that short film version was seen at film festivals and things, then they got picked up and got funding to turn it into a real movie. But yeah, still pretty low budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's still just a really classic movie.
It's so good. I could watch it right now.
I think that it maybe got a little overexposed or something in pop culture.
It was pretty hyped up for sure.
Yeah, it just
I mean,
it was
when
the
you can buy
that,
a shirt at Hot Topic, it's popular.
it's popular, yeah. And so I think because of that at the time, it became a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And I remember when this first came out on DVD, though, maybe before it had gotten to that point of oversaturation.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you and I watched Napoleon Dynamite 7 times in one day.
It was more than that because we had a little mini DVD player in the back of our parents' car, and we watched it front to back on loop the entire road trip, which was like 8 hours or something crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we watched it several times normally and watched it with the commentary on, watched every single special feature. We just, I think that we got the DVD. It had come out like that week right before that trip. And so we took that DVD on the trip and just watched it to death.
And it was a DVD that we both liked, which was a hard thing. A movie that we both liked, which was a harder thing to come by. So.
I remember on that road trip being in the back seat with us watching the movie and just laughing
barely
out loud
laughing.
So
yep.
hard through the whole thing. And mom and dad in the front seat not getting at all why we were laughing so hard.
Nope.
And then later when they finally saw the movie
still
and did
not
get
it
at all. But yeah, the title sequence in Napoleon Dynamite is just, it's
so
really
spot
great.
On. Yeah.
We'll definitely have links to all of these so you guys can look back and remember some of these great title sequences. And I think you'll enjoy that, hopefully.
Yes. I love that we had the same number one.
I do, too. I wondered if that was maybe the one we would have crossover on.
Yeah, I figured.
But I'm glad that it was both our number one.
That worked out well.
thank you guys so much for listening to our top five movie title sequences. You can listen to this episode and all of our previous episodes at brothersisterlister.com, where you can also find more information about the topics that we discuss on each episode and links to buy some of the products that we discuss. For this episode, make sure that you check out those links to view all of these great movie title sequences. You can also find us on social media.
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram at brothersisterlister, and you can also find us on Twitter at BSLpodcast, and definitely use the hashtag brothersisterlister. We would love to hear any ideas you have for future lists that you'd like to hear us discuss, and we'd also love to hear if you think we left out any movie title sequences that should have been on our list. We want to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, this was such a rich subject that I had to narrow my list down from like 15 different movie title sequences. So I'm sure you guys have lots of great picks as well, and we'd love to hear them.
Definitely.
Also, make sure that you subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you're not already a subscriber, make sure you go on and do that so that you can have a new episode on your phone every single week. And tell a friend about Brother Sister Lister if you're enjoying the show. That would mean the world to us.
Yes, more the merrier.
And until next week, call your mom.
Tell her you love her.
Bye.
Bye.
Last week, Japanese scientists placed explosive detonators at the bottom of Lake Loch Ness to blow Nessie out of the water. Sir Court Godfrey of the Nessie Alliance summoned the help of Scotland's local wizards to cast a protective spell over the lake and its local residents and all those who seek for the peaceful existence of our underwater ally.